بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم اما بعد آج کیونکہ اعتکاف کا پہلا دن ہے اور کافی ساتھی ماشاءاللہ اعتکاف میں بیٹھنے والے ہیں یا بیٹھ چکے ہیں اس لیے میں نے سوچا کہ مناسب ہے کہ اس سلسلے میں کچھ باتیں بیان کی جائے کہ بھائی اعتکاف میں کس مقصد سے بیٹھا جاتا ہے اور انشاءاللہ اس میں سبھی کو فائدہ ہوگا جو لوگ اعتکاف میں ہیں جو لوگ اعتکاف میں نہیں ہیں. جیسا کہ گزشتہ کل عرض کیا تھا کہ رمضان المبارک کی چند ہی گھڑیاں رہ جاتی ہے اور یہ جو راتیں ہیں رمضان المبارک کی آخری 10 راتیں اس کے اندر لیلۃ القدر کے پائے جانے کی قوی امید ہے. لیلۃ القدر کے بارے میں یقینی طور پر تو نہیں کہا جا سکتا کہ یہ رات کب ہے لیکن قوی امید یہ ہے کہ یہ آخری 10 راتوں کے اندر ہے. اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ نے چند چیزیں مخفی رکھی, بعض چیزیں ایسی ہیں جو اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ نے مخفی رکھی اور ان کو صاف طور پر بیان نہیں کیا. اس میں کئی حکمتیں ہیں, مثال کے طور پر اس میں سے ایک ہے اعتکاف, مثال کے طور پر اس میں سے ایک ہے جمعہ کے دن رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ ایک گھڑی ایسی ہے کہ مسلمان اس گھڑی میں جو بھی دعا کرتا ہے وہ دعا اللہ کے یہاں ضرور اور یقیناً قبول ہوتی ہے. لیکن آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے صراحت کے ساتھ وضاحت کے ساتھ وہ گھڑی بیان نہیں کی کہ بھائی وہ جمعہ سے پہلے ہے, جمعہ کے بعد ہے, مغرب سے پہلے ہے, خطبہ کے درمیان ہے, اس کو خاص طور پر بیان نہیں کیا. ہم جب اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ سے دعا کرتے ہیں, مثلاً کوئی مغفرت چاہتا ہے, توبہ کرتا ہے, تو اس کے بارے میں کہ اس کا توبہ قبول ہوا یا نہیں ہوا کوئی قطعی بات کسی کو نہیں معلوم ہوتی. اللہ کی طرف سے کوئی اعلان نہیں ہوتا, رات کو کوئی خواب نہیں دیکھتا کہ بھائی آپ کی توبہ قبول ہو گئی, اب آرام کرو, ریلیکس کرو. بعض چیزیں ایسی ہیں جو اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ نے مخفی رکھی اور اس میں بڑی حکمتیں ہیں. مثال کے طور پر یہ توبہ ہی کی مثال لے لیجئے کہ اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ ہم توبہ کرتے ہیں تو اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ کسی جگہ اعلان نہیں کرتے یا ہم پر کہیں وہی نہیں اترتی کہ آپ کی توبہ قبول ہوگی. تو اس کا فائدہ کیا ہے کہ آدمی ہر وقت ڈر کر رہتا ہے کہ پتہ نہیں میری توبہ قبول ہوئی یا نہیں. تو اس کو یہ بھی نہیں سوچنا, اللہ سے کے ساتھ قوی امید رکھنی چاہے, اللہ کے ساتھ حسن ظن رکھنا چاہے کہ اگر اللہ نے مجھے توبہ کی توفیق دی تو اللہ نے میری توبہ قبول بھی کی ہوگی. Whenever we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make istighfar and tawbah, then we should have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as I was saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not explicitly let us know if our tawbah is accepted or not. The hikmah and wisdom behind this is that a person, he has this fear lingering in the back of his mind and he keeps on making tawbah. Oh, throughout his life, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is said that he used to make tawbah over 70 times a day. So this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept hidden. The night of Qadr and the night of power, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept hidden. Why? Two people are of two types. One type are those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively. So for them, in keeping it hidden, there is a benefit that they will work extra hard. If they were told that Laylatul Qadr is on the 27th night, or Laylatul Qadr is on the 25th night, or it is on the 21st night every year, it is on this night, then this person, he would do ibadah on the 21st, and then he would, the rest of the days, he would waste them. He wouldn't maximize his time. So if this person, he does not know when Laylatul Qadr is, usko pata hi nahi ki Laylatul Qadr kab hai, to ab wo har raat ki qadr karega, aur har raat is ye koshish karega ki kisi tarah mujhe Laylatul Qadr mil jaye. And then you have those who do not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who do not make the most of these opportunities. Now if this person was to know that Laylatul Qadr, he was to be told that Laylatul Qadr is on the 27th night or on the 29th night, he is so weak as far as his deen is concerned that it wouldn't make a difference to him. He would still carry on his life in the manner that it was. He would still carry on for sinning and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have one person who knows that it is Laylatul Qadr, who does not know that it is Laylatul Qadr, and then he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is wrong. This is showing attitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you have another person who knows that it is Laylatul Qadr. He knows that today is the 29th night, it is Laylatul Qadr. Even then he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an even greater sin. You have a person, he does not know that this person is an alim, he is a scholar. He does not know that this person is an alim, he is a scholar, he is a man of knowledge. And he behaves with him in an inappropriate manner. He speaks to him in a rough tone. He does not come across with adab and with respect. This is wrong. We should not, whether it is an alim or non-alim, whoever it is, we should deal with them with respect. And you have a, so this is wrong anyway. But you have another person who knows. He recognizes this person, who this person is, what status he holds. And even then, despite knowing who this person is, he disrespects him, which is worse. Obviously, the second scenario. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept Laylatul Qadr hidden. He has mercy upon us that some of my servants are those who worship me. Let me hide this Laylatul Qadr so that they excel in worshipping me. So when they find Laylatul Qadr, they will be rewarded for worshipping me. And on the other nights, they will also be rewarded. It is not only that if Laylatul Qadr ho aur us din aapne Laylatul Qadr ko paya to aapko thawab mila. Aur kisi aur raat ibadat ki to uska kuch nahi mila. رمضان مبارک کے اندر تو ومن تقرب فيه بخصلة كان كمن ادى فريضة فيما سواه. رمضان مبارک کے اندر اگر کوئی آدمی ایک نفل کام کرتا ہے وہ فرض کے برابر ہے. A person who carries out one nafl in the month of Ramadan, this is equivalent to one farz. So whether it is Laylatul Qadr or whether it is not Laylatul Qadr, we will get reward anyhow. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has kept this hidden. He has kept this night hidden. And he has kept many other things, like I was saying on the day of Friday, that time when a person, his dua is accepted. Why? If it is hidden, then a person, he will make dua excessively throughout the day. That I don't know when this moment is. It could be now. It could be before Jummah. It could be after Jummah. It could be before Maghrib. It could be in the morning. It could be at the time of Tahajjud. Let me make dua throughout the day. So this will keep him connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the great acts of this last 10 days of Ramadan is the i'tikaf. This is a sunnat mustamirra, a sunnat that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he carried out excessively. Throughout his life, he carried out i'tikaf. And in the year that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he carried out i'tikaf for 20 days. What is i'tikaf? In brief words, qat'ul alaiq anil khalaiq lil ishtighali bi khidmatil khaliq. قَتْءُ الْعَلَائِقْ عَنِ الْخَلَائِقِ. To disconnect ourselves and our connection from the khala'iq, from the makhluq. From our family, from our friends, from our phones, from our social media, from all those distractions which stop us from concentrating on our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَتْءُ الْخَلَائِقْ عَنِ الْعَلَائِقْ عَنِ الْخَلَائِقِ. From the makhluq. To cut ourselves off from the makhluq. لِلْإِشْتِغَالِ بِخِدْمَةِ الْخَالِقِ. So that now this person can seclude himself and concentrate only on him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in i'tikaf. Nobody else in between. So a person, he leaves his home, he leaves his business, he leaves his studies, he leaves his work, he leaves his family members, and he comes and secludes himself in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a sunnah i'tikaf. There is a sunnah i'tikaf which is done the last 10 days of Ramadan, which is sunnah alal kifaya, that a certain number of people or even one person in a certain locality, if he sits in i'tikaf, everyone be absolved from this responsibility. But whenever we come into the masjid, so there are certain brothers who are in i'tikaf and there are certain brothers who are not in i'tikaf, but you can perform nafl i'tikaf even for 1 second, even for 2 seconds, even for 1 minute, for 10 minutes, for 15 minutes, for 1 hour. Whenever a person comes into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should make this intention with his heart that I am in i'tikaf. Basically, I have come to disconnect myself from the dunya and connect myself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our coming into the masjid, what is the masjid? This is the powerhouse. This is the powerhouse of spirituality. Hazrat Maulana Ali Mian Nadwi rahimahullah ta'ala, he writes, huwa qutbun yaduru hawlahu rahal hayatil islamiyya. This is the pivotal point around which the Islamic life of a human being is revolving around. This is where we come to charge our batteries. Just like our mobile phones, we charge it is 100%. And then we use it. So as we use our phones, we use different apps, we make calls, we send messages, etc. Slowly, slowly the battery starts to come down. What do we have to do? If we leave this phone, then it will die. It will be of no use. So we put it in back into the socket and we recharge this phone. Similarly, when we go outside, we are combated with nafs and shaitan. Nafs and shaitan are coming at us from all directions. They are trying to take us towards wrong, towards evil, towards looking at wrong, towards listening to wrong, towards saying something wrong. So we have to combat our nafs, because of which our battery becomes low. And if we do not come back and recharge this battery, then it will be hard for us to overpower shaitan. We will become weak. Shaitan's strength will become more and we will become weak. Now all shaitan needs to do is give us a flick or give us a hint or a small waswasa and we start to follow his track. So this is why our connection with the masjid is very important. This is our connection with our deen. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina Munawwara, the first thing that he done was establish a masjid. Because like I said, this is the powerhouse for a believer. Ye musalman ke liye aisi jagah hai jahan woh aakar apni battery ko dobara charge karta hai taki woh Allah taala ki ahkamat ko bahir jaakar pura kar sake. So when a person comes into a masjid, he should always make the niyat of i'tikaf, and he should also have this mentality, this intention, that I have come here to cut myself from everyone. When I come to a masjid, I don't want to look for my friend, that which corner is he sitting in? Is he sitting in the right? Is he sitting in the left? Alhamdulillah, it is very pleasing to see in this masjid, mashallah, most brothers, they are involved in ibadat. You see very few people sitting around talking, laughing and joking. If you go around the world, you will not find this mahal in many masajid. Most people, most places you go, more than a masjid, it seems like you're in a town center or in a bazaar or in a fish market, as they say. People talking in this corner and that corner about this and that and sports and cricket and politics and all sorts. So we have come to the masjid to connect ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And instead of doing this, we are connecting with the makhluk. We are already connected with the makhluk outside. This is the place for us to connect with the khaliq. So when a person comes into the masjid, he is in khalwat now. Khalwat means seclusion. So one form of seclusion is that you go in a corner and there's nobody around you. Obviously you can't do this because the masjid is a place of congregation. But we can seclude our minds that I have come here to turn myself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have given everybody else time. I've given time to everyone. But if there is a being that deserves my time, it is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever we come to the masjid and those brothers who are in i'tikaf, we should make this our objective, that I have come to connect myself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, this khalwat and seclusion is a very important part of our deen. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked by a sahabi, Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, man najat? What is najat? What is salvation? So the obvious answer to this was that a person is saved from Jahannam and he enters into Jannat. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not answer the question in this manner, because if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him this, this was of no benefit to him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed him what is the path to salvation. If a person, he treads the path to salvation, salvation is automatic for him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, amlik alayka lisanak. Control your tongue. First thing, control your tongue. Do not use it in the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلْيَسَعَكَ بَيْتُكَ. And may your house be enough for you. What does this mean? This means that do not intermingle with people unnecessarily. Do not come out of your house unnecessarily. Stay in khalwat and seclusion as much as you can, so that you can concentrate on your objective in life. وَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيئَتِكَ. And cry over your sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he was given wahi, before the wahi came down unto him through the medium of Jibreel alayhi salam, he used to go to Ghar-e Hira, the cave of Hira. And he would spend months there in seclusion. The ulama state and the muhaddithin mentioned that the reason behind this is so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would spend time in seclusion so that he can prepare himself spiritually for the wahi that is to come down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this wahi, any heart is not enough. A human being, he does not have the capacity to take in the wahi and revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He needs to build himself up spiritually. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if we were to reveal this Quran unto a mountain, then it would crumble into pieces. It does not have the capacity to take this message of the Quran and this wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spent time in seclusion. So whenever we come to the masjid and when we are in i'tikaf, this is the first and foremost thing we should understand. That the objective of this is that so that we can disconnect from everyone and connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khaja Azizul Hazan Mazzub rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi, ab to aaja, ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi. I have every wish of mine, every desire of mine has left my heart. My desire for dunya, my desire for dollars, my desire for pounds, my desire for the worldly pleasures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in this world. Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi. I have taken everything out of my heart. Ab to aaja, ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. Now my heart is empty. All I want is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter my heart. So this is the main purpose and objective of i'tikaf. That we disconnect from everyone. Because whenever two people sit down, what generally happens? We end up doing something wrong. We end up saying something wrong. We end up backbiting, slandering, gossiping. An Arab poet, he says, لِقَاءُ النَّاسِ لَا يُفِيدُ شَيْئًا سِوَى الْهِذِيَانِ مِنْ قِيلٍ وَقَالِي لِقَاءُ النَّاسِ لَا يُفِيدُ شَيْئًا سِوَى الْهِذِيَانِ مِنْ قِيلٍ وَقَالِي Meeting one another, interacting with one another excessively. Obviously, that does not mean that we do not talk to anyone. And we sit in one corner and we live our life as a hermit. This is not what our deen teaches. We have to live as a community together. But liqa'un nas, excessively, without reason, la yufidu shay'an, it will not benefit you. Siwal hidhiyani min qilin wa qal, but qilan qal. So-and-so said this, this happened here, and that happened here, in so-and-so's house, this incident took place, and so-and-so person is like this, and so-and-so person is like that. All of these different discussions that we have, which rather than benefiting us, they cause us harm. Min qilin wa qali. So what does he say? فَأَقْلِلْ مِنْ لِقَاءِ النَّاسِ فَأَقْلِلْ مِنْ لِقَاءِ النَّاسِ إِلَّا لِأَخْذِ الْإِلْمِ أَوْ لِإِصْلَاحِ الْحَالِ. Hence, lessen your meeting with one another. فَأَقْلِلْ مِنْ لِقَاءِ النَّاسِ. Don't meet people too much. Don't interact with them too much. Don't socialize too much. Socialize, yes. But just like eating is in a limit, in a boundary. Drinking is in a limit, in a boundary. If you overeat, you will have problems. If you overdrink, you will have problems. If you over-socialize, just like today you have social networking, what's the harm of this? Over-socializing. I ate this for breakfast. I had this for lunch. I had this for dinner. Today I am in here. Today I am there. Every small point in our life, we are updating. And we are letting the other person know. And the other person is letting us know. And all our time is being spent on WhatsApp groups, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Snapchat, and whatnot. This is over-socializing. So just like overeating is harmful, over-drinking is harmful, anything that you do out of limit and out of boundary is harmful to us. So similarly, mixing too much, it is harmful for our deen, because it will eat away our time. فَأَقْلِلْ مِنْ لِقَاءِ النَّاسِ إِلَّا لِأَخْذِ الْإِلْمِ. When should you meet somebody? When should you socialize? لِأَخْذِ الْإِلْمِ. If there is an alim and a scholar, or a student of deen that you can benefit from, you can learn some deen from, you can progress in your deen, then meet him. Spend time with him. أَوْ لِإِصْلَاحِ الْحَالِ. If there is a sheikh, if there is a murabbi, if there is a teacher who is showing you the path to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is solving your problems as far as practicing upon your deen is concerned, then spend time in his company. Because this company will benefit you. This conversation will benefit you. What we are doing here now is also socializing. But this socializing is of benefit. So, لِقَاءُ النَّاسِ لَا يُفِيدُ شَيْئًا. We should understand that whenever we are in i'tikaf, we are in the masjid, in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not look here and there. We do not try to make friends. But we make our friendship with our Creator and our Khaliq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those brothers who are in i'tikaf, they should keep this objective in mind, that why we are sitting in i'tikaf. What is the objective? Whenever we do something with an objective, we will benefit. Just like i'tikaf is a blessing, similarly, with every blessing comes a responsibility. This tongue of ours is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These eyes of ours are a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our brain and intellect is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our hands are a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This masjid, blessings are of two types, materialistic and spiritual. The masjid is a spiritual blessing. The month of Ramadan is a spiritual blessing. The opportunity to sit in i'tikaf is a spiritual blessing. So we heard the last surah which was reciting the witr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَنِ النَّعِيمِ. You will be questioned about the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. So like we will be questioned about our hands, how did you use your hands? Our money, where did you acquire your money from? How did you use your money? Our time that we have been given, how did you use this time that I gave you? Our intellect, our eyes, our hands, our feet. Similarly, we will be questioned about the mahol that we have been given. We gave you a masjid, how did you utilize your time there? I gave you the opportunity in the month of Ramadan to be the guest in my house, to come to my house, to frequent my house. How did you make use of this? So just like a blessing is a blessing, at the same time, we will be questioned in regards to this. So we should always be on guard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has made us His guest. And whenever we go to somebody's house as a guest, what do? We make sure that we do not do anything which will displease this person. We will make sure that we be on our best behavior. We dress in a manner which is appropriate for the occasion. We behave in a manner which is appropriate for the occasion. We say that which is appropriate in front of this person. This is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no being greater than the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no honor for a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more greater than being given entry in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our behavior, our approach should be such that it befits the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should make sure that we do not disrespect the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith it is mentioned that two people were standing in al-Masjid al-Nabawi and they were talking in a loud voice. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he threw a stone. In those days, this was the way of attracting somebody's attention. A small pebble he threw onto another sahabi who narrates this hadith. He said to him that those two people today who are speaking in a loud manner, can you call them here please? He was the Amir al-Mu'mineen, this was his responsibility. So he called them and he said to them that, Man antuma, who are you two? Where are you from? So they said, Min ahli Ta'if, we have come to Medina Munawwara from Ta'if, which is near Makkah Mukarrama. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said to them, Law kuntuma min ahli al-balal la'auja'atukuma tarfa'ani aswatakuma fi masjidi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am letting you off because you are our visitors. You are from Ta'if, I am letting you off. If you were from the men of Medina Munawwara, I would have scolded you and I would have made sure that you would not make this mistake again, because you are raising your voice in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can you show this disrespect to the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And every masjid, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in our time that we are spending here, we should make sure that we do not disrespect. Whenever we come to the masjid, we do not disrespect the masjid at all. We dress in a manner which is appropriate. Just like for every occasion, you have a different dress way. When you are inside your home, you dress in a casual manner. When you go to work, you dress in a formal manner. When you go to a wedding, you dress in a formal manner. When you are out with your friends, you dress in an informal manner. So according to the occasion, our dress, our behavior will be such. So when we come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should understand the gravity of this place. And our behavior and our dress should be in the same appropriate manner. Another point to remember whilst we are in i'tikaf is that you have 30 people, 40 people, sometimes more, sometimes less. We should make sure that through our actions, nobody is inconvenienced in any manner. Nobody is inconvenienced, because just like they are the huquq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Muslim brothers, they also have hukuk. And we should make sure that we do not behave in such a manner that somebody is inconvenienced by us. Because if we do so, then as they say in Urdu, neki barbad guna lazim. Neki barbad guna lazim. We came in i'tikaf to accumulate good actions, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but because we are behaving in such a manner which is inconveniencing our Muslim brothers, it is like a bucket, you are trying to fill it with water and there is a hole at the bottom. So whatever you are putting inside is going down, it's not accumulating in the bucket, it's all going to waste. So if we fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we do not look after the rights of our fellow Muslim brothers and our fellow musallis, then rather than coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we may be under this assumption that I am doing so much, but when we wake up on the Day of Judgment, we will realize that our bucket is empty. So we should make sure that we do not behave in any manner whatsoever which causes inconvenience to anyone. We keep the masjid clean. We do not leave our towels and clothes and stuff like this hanging around. This is not our house. Other people also frequent the masjid and they like to see the masjid in a clean and in a clean manner so that nobody looks at it and feels, you know, uneasy. So we should keep these a few points in mind. There are also some other points to be mentioned, inshallah, on another occasion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all those brothers who are in i'tikaf, all those who are not in i'tikaf. These, like I said, are blessed nights. It's 12:30 now. 3:45 is Sehri. The night is not very long. If we do not have to go to work, etc., we can stay awake as well, stay in the masjid, do some ibadah. Inshallah, mahal will be created and people will be encouraged to do good. We should recite as much Quran as possible. The month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran. If we are reciting a juz, two juz, three juz out of the month of Ramadan, out of i'tikaf, if we have come in i'tikaf, it should increase twofold, threefold, even more, because our whole time is being dedicated in the masjid. So there should be an increase in our good a'mal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our gathering here. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.